I guess if you judge by just looking at some of the trades that were out there, it seems to have been a different day for a lot of teams. I think 10 or 12 teams, maybe even more, didn't make a transaction today with respect to a trade. So the conversations that I had today basically focused around what we, I guess, call hockey deals in our, in our kind of backroom conversations. And hockey deals are more about players that potentially have, rights that you own moving forward, going different ways and stuff like that. So those are the kind of conversations that I had most of the day today.
Based on what you saw in the deals today, how do you feel about the value you were able to get for Andrew earlier in the week?
Well, when we started to solicit offers or at least return calls of teams that had expressed interest in Andrew, became very apparent to me early on that the market was going to be very different. Just by the conversations that I had with numerous general managers, there was interest out there, but with respect to the prices that we were looking at, and we were certainly looking at a first-round pick in a return that in any return that we were going to get, it became apparent that that was going to be a very difficult thing to get in the marketplace as it was setting up. So when we did decide to move forward with the deal, ultimately in our thoughts and our process, that it was the best course of action to take several days ago.
Do you think getting ahead of the market helped you in that case?
We didn't really, look at it as getting ahead of the market. We basically, weighed our options with respect to what we thought was going to be realistic in what some of the other teams might be, might be offering. And again, just collectively through the conversations that we had internally, whether it was ahead of the market or whether it was going to wait, we felt that that was the best deal we were going to make.
Obviously, things could still change before next year, but is this a vote of confidence for your core, minus Andrew, but the rest of that core?
Well, again, from our standpoint here, there's, we've obviously made some decisions over the years past in signing some guys. Obviously, we decided to sign Dustin Byfuglien to the deal that we did. Again, we need to continue to grow this this product. Certainly for us right now, standing here today a year ago, we were, talking about some of the acquisitions that we made. And certainly, when we get to that point again, we're going to be talking about those acquisitions at a deadline day moving forward. But, standing here today, the decisions were made that had to be made. Many teams are, faced with some of these decisions at this point in time. And again, you have to, you have to make them, whether they're economic or whether they're situational, you make these decisions. But the group of guys that we have here from the veteran standpoint, again, we've made commitments to them over the course of years through, different contracts or the likes. And obviously some of the young guys that we've given opportunities to play need to continue to grow. And for us to move this franchise forward, there's going to have to be more growth, growth from some of the other younger guys that that are going to be coming into the organization. Obviously, from a free agent standpoint moving forward, still remains to be seen what might be out there, in the summertime. But again, judging by the way the market went, here at the trade deadline, the free agent marketplace isn't what it's all cracked up to be, over the course of the past years.
In terms of your roster, will you recall another defenseman, or is it a possibility you could see a third goalie up before tomorrow? Or?
So after the trade deadline or after the deadline day today, you're basically bound by the CBA to have four regular recalls. And the only time that you have the flexibility is when you're in emergency circumstances. So when you fall below a certain number, and on defense, it's when you fall below six, you can call someone up on an emergency. And if you fall below 13 or 12 forwards, at the forward position, you can call someone up under emergency. And those players then don't affect the four recall rule. So at this point in time, the roster, is set with six defensemen. So if we have an injury, we will have to go into emergency circumstances to call up a defenseman.
But you're not planning on calling Connor up at this point?
We're not burning any recalls right now. Today, we're not.
But you still have, if you lose losing party, you would have room on the roster, right?
Well, there is no roster essentially after the deadline. The roster expands beyond the traditional 23-man roster. Again, throughout the National Hockey League, the only thing the teams are bound by now is the actual cap.
Could you talk about the party
sure.
situation?
Sure. Yeah, so what transpired with Adam, over the last, little while here, we solicited other teams to see if there was an interest in moving Adam Pardee. We had through different conversations between I guess ourselves and his agent and Paul just in his general day-to-day routine. We felt that that he's been a really good soldier for us over the last couple of years, and with the number of games that he's played and the number of games that he hasn't, we just felt if there was an opportunity for him to go to another organization to try and earn another contract moving forward, that it was going to be the right thing to do. Certainly, we could have just kept him on the roster and had him here, but again, for a guy that maybe wasn't playing as much as he wanted to. And a guy in his contractual situation, we just felt it was right. And again, we sent feelers out around the league, and there wasn't an asset to be acquired in a return. So again, that's why we put him on waivers, which allowed him the opportunity to go just for his waiver price.
We've heard this from Blake Wheeler before. He's said to us, "I'm not getting any younger, and for me, it's not about building for the future. It's about building right now." After having let Andrew go, do you have conversations with him about that or where he can expect this organization to be in the immediate and very near future?
Well, I haven't had a one-on-one conversation with Blake Wheeler especially, but certainly when we signed Dustin, conversations like that had been discussed. Obviously, there's many teams in this league that would like the opportunity to be playing for that ultimate prize, the Stanley Cup, and certainly the teams that get the opportunity to make the playoffs can reasonably believe that they have that opportunity in front of them. There's many players in this league in those situations. I think everybody is trying to do their best to whether you're a player or whether you're in management to ultimately achieve that and build an organization and a group around it. You don't do it through free agency. You don't do it through trade deadline acquisitions when you're in a situation like we are in right now. There really is only several ways to do it, and the tried and true method is through the draft. There's a lot of young players in this league now, and I think if you look at how a first round pick was coveted at this trade deadline, and if you look at the type of players that were traded for rentals this year, even as opposed to what was traded for rentals last year, there's a trend, and the trend is that you have to hold on to your young guys. The salary cap, no one knows where it's going to be. Is it going to go up? Is it going to stay flat? That's a big thing. Certainly when it comes to unrestricted free agents, it is a big thing. When we were signing several players years ago, again, they were faced with some of those realities when we did their contracts. What's the cap going to be? In 4 or 5 years, what's it going to be then? Well, the players that are going into the unrestricted free agent market right now are faced with that as well. So, as a team, again, you have to be able to sign your young players. You have to have that ability to have the cap flexibility to be able to do that. You don't want to have to be trading a young guy at a point in time where they're just starting to become good players because you don't have the cap space.
You referenced earlier on the opportunity. Right now you won't add any of the young guys, but where you are in the standings and with the schedule that's left right now, does that make it easier to possibly bring some young guys in for a look?
Well, I think if you if you look at our schedule, obviously we play a lot of home games coming up here. I think the Moose are reasonably around the same area as well. Given the fact that we're one injury away from an emergency circumstance on defense, I think the nature of the game, although you don't know exactly if or when or how, you will see some of those guys come up, whether it's some of the young first-year guys or whether it's some of the guys that have been in our system for several years. There's decisions that have to be made on many different levels on them, whether it's, do you move forward with a contract again with them in the coming years, or, in some of the young guys' cases, do you give them a chance to play and see where they're at and how much more development that they need moving forward. But I know, again, it's a big step for some of these guys to obviously, know that there is a potential opportunity that's around the corner for him.
Paul touched on it a little bit, Kevin, on the road. Where do you stand on the captaincy and if it will be something that will be handed out again this season?
So Paul and I really for the first time have had the opportunity just briefly this morning to sit down and talk about it. It's been a busy time since the days that I guess we did make the transaction with Andrew. So from a decision-making standpoint, there's lots that's going to go into it. There's many more conversations amongst the ownership and management group, and obviously I think there's going to be a lot of conversations amongst different players and Paul. And somewhere, sometime, those are going to meet. If I had to venture, I guess at this point in time without really, sitting down with Mark Chipman and with Paul, I would say right now that there's a strong likelihood that the captaincy would be awarded next year.
What are the qualities, most important qualities you'll be looking for when you hand it out again?
Well, again, I think that's part and parcel of the conversations that are going to take place. I think that when you have the opportunity to have a captaincy open, I think that you want to discuss that both internally, and I think you want to discuss it with the players that are ultimately in the room, because for them, it is their room. What kind of qualities, or what would they like to see? What do they want? How do they want to see it unfold? From a management perspective, when you walk through the confines of the dressing room, that's the coaches and the players. So again, when you go out on the ice, that's the coaches and the players' domain. And so those are things that you have to take into consideration. But there's lots of things. Certainly for a captain in a Canadian market, I think it's important that you do understand the pressures and the responsibilities that do come with it.
Obviously, spending is no guarantee of success, but why are you spending so little on players this season, this year?
Well, I think if you take a look at the fact of what we did commit to Dustin, I don't think spending's an issue when it comes to that. I think the one aspect was that you have to have the ability to be able to spend. There's teams in this league that would love to be able to go out and spend a little more, but maybe they have a contract that they acquired on July 1st that they'd love to be able to, to get away from. And in this salary cap world, you can't just bury players. You can't, take a $5 million contract and put it in the minors anymore. So there's lots of decisions that you make in the short term that affect the long term. So we had the ability to go out and sign Dustin, and be it on the term and on the money that, that worked for both sides. We have, several RFA deals, that are coming up. And we will have the ability to get those done based on, how we want to do them. So, again, the opportunities are there for us as we wanted to continue to move forward. But, again, the pie is only going to be so big, not necessarily from an internal standpoint, but from an external standpoint. So when we do get the cap number within this league, we'll find out whether it's flat, whether it's down, whether it's up. Again, those economic variables don't get revealed to us until just before the actual free agency period opens. So one thing that you have to have is you have to have that flexibility.
But Dustin's deal and the other RFA deals, they don't kick in until next year. So you went into this year.
Right, so we could have signed guys to 3 or 4 or 5 year deals at different points in time that might have locked up our ability to have the flexibility to go out and to get a guy like Dustin. If we had committed $5 million to someone else, we wouldn't even have been talking about the opportunity to sign Dustin and potentially keep Andrew, which, again, once those things come into play, they eat away at what you have available to you. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about the flexibility that we have to be able to say, okay, Mark Scheifele, Jacob Trouba, we're going to get these deals done. I think you've seen over the course of time, because you guys have all reported it, there has been teams that have had to make decisions based on the fact that we can't get a deal done here. Now we have to move you to a young player, and that was not going to be us.
Hindsight's obviously 20/20, but do you regret not signing some short-term one-year deals to make this year's team better?
Well, again, I think that, hindsight is always 20/20, but I think you have to look at the positions and where you're going to play some of these players. And when you sign players to one-year deals, it comes down to what kind of opportunity are you going to give them. Can you play them on the first line, if they're first or second line type players? Can you play them? Or should you be giving a chance to a young player like a Nick Ehlers, who is going to be a big part of your future? And, again, when you don't have that opportunity to play a young kid and you bury him on the third line or the fourth line, they don't get a chance to grow. And in a draft and develop model, it doesn't matter whether you have a bunch of veteran guys or a bunch of young guys, you have to give opportunities to players to play in areas that they're going to succeed.
So no regrets?
Well, no regrets at all.
you saw it last year in Buffalo, and you're seeing it pretty prevalent in Toronto right now, where they're putting a lineup that looks a lot like their AHL hockey team. When you find yourself down towards the stand, or you know, in the standings, what do you make of that approach as an NHL GM?
The other team's approach?
Yeah. The approach to kind of, I mean, I don't want to say it, but this team's tanking, looks like. I mean, the approach on that.
Well, I really can't comment on what other teams' plans or projections or what their thought process is and how they want to conduct business moving forward. Certainly for us, we made some decisions of which I don't have any regrets that, we were going to play some younger guys to put them in our lineup. I think that, those things are decisions that you make. There's an opportunity cost that comes with it. From our standpoint, we're going to try and evaluate some players within our system and see, how they fit, moving forward. And we have that, I guess, opportunity in front of us right now based on the situation that we're in. But, again, I can only comment on our own situation here. Certainly, we're not excited about the opportunities that, of how things unfolded here. But the realities are, they are what they are. Brian Little being out for the rest of the season is certainly something that is tragic from the standpoint of how we can run this team and continue to roll the lines from a Paul perspective and losing a veteran player down the stretch like Mark Stewart as well. Those are things that all factor into it. But there'll be some other opportunities for some other players. Now you see some combinations with Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and Nikolai Ehlers that. If Brian Little doesn't get hurt for the extended period of time that he does, maybe you don't see those. But again, every season has a different set of challenges in front of them, and you don't know what those challenges are going to be when you start the season. And obviously, the things unfold, and you have to be able to move and adapt.
Obviously, a lot of moving parts, the least of which would be what the salary cap will be. But the financial flexibility that you've created for yourself, when you take a look around the league and see what other people's are other teams are dealing with and what you now have, how big of an advantage do you see that being going forward?
Well, I think it's the advantage lies in the fact that we're not a team that has to worry about getting offer sheeted. We're not a team that has to worry about those kind of things because of the flexibility that that we have presented or have created for ourselves. But as far as being able to go out and spend money, teams don't go out and spend money just for the sake of spending it. There has to be certainly options and fits and the ability for you may want to go get a defenseman in the market, and you may think that's the thing that in the free agent market or whatever that you need to move forward, but there might not be one of those. You might have to try and make a trade. You might have to, see if there's a guy that, that's available. But, generally speaking, when you try to, when you make the calls that I make on a daily basis to the general managers, there's several things that always keep coming up. And as players get older, some of those players that they're willing to move are players that are on long-term deals that they're moving for a reason. So those are the type of things that really kind of gum up a marketplace, gum up a hockey transaction world. Like you used to be able to, I talked to some of the general managers that are my contemporaries from years past, and they talk about the deals that they used to be able to make. Well, players generally made around the same amount of money. There wasn't this disparity of the guys making multi-million dollars and guys making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Back when you saw those big deals or players that moved freely, the actual amount of contracts or the terms, they were generally the same. So you could pick up the phone and call the guy in Toronto or whoever was the other GM and say, hey, let's move this guy, and this guy for this guy, and this guy. And it'd be done. Bang. Those things would happen. In today's deals, there's so much more involved. How many years away from unrestricted free agency? How much money? What's their arbitration rights? How many goals have they scored, and what's their, what are they going to get in arbitration? Well, okay, this guy is going to get $3 million in arbitration. Well, I don't want that. Those are the kind of conversations that, that happen. And people may think that these deals just, look so logical and you should just make them. But again, you don't just do them on the spur of the moment, because every single thing you do has a long-term ripple effect. Whether you give a guy a 5-year deal or whether you give a guy a 1-year deal, there's an opportunity cost that comes to it.